Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman. And, you know, there are so many changes that we're experiencing in life, but we have one beautiful constant. And that beautiful constant is we have food and we need to eat. And either that can be joyous or it could be a challenge. And my guest today, Sherry Bournes, has chosen to make the preparation of food and the understanding of food an absolutely joyful journey. So she's going to share her experiences and what she knows to make her kitchen a joyful place to be. So welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, it's wonderful because so many people, Sherry, as you know, are maybe not as accustomed to being in the kitchen. They're used to having carry out and different things like that. Well, being home during this pandemic, a lot of people are learning how to cook. And your experiences are really lovely. Could you begin to share us a little bit with us a little bit about your background and how you became interested in really understanding food?
Oh, sure. Actually, my journey started like 30 years ago. And back then, I mean, that's back in the 80s. So, you know, I was in my mid-20s. And I was not much of a cook. So I wasn't raised that way. My mom, she didn't cook much. And her ideas of, you know, preparing meals came really from a box or a can. And so, as far as my husband goes too, we were kind of in the same boat. He didn't have a lot of support in his family as far as good, healthy habits. So now we're finding ourselves in our 20s and wondering how we're going to do this. And, So my background goes like this. I struggled with cooking and didn't know much about nutrition. And my husband was raised with his paternal side of the family. They were butchers. So he was raised around a lot of meat. And they owned small meat markets and grocery stores. And so my husband worked for his father at a very young age. And so he consumed meat, you know, like on a daily basis. And he just knew that it didn't feel right, you know, after eating that meat so often. And he was young. So it took him a little bit of time. You know, by the time he realized, that there was another way to eat was probably when he was in his high school years. So, but now, I didn't mention that Randy would have been like the third generation of owning like a meat market business. And he knew he didn't want to go down that path. So he decided to get into the arts and he started his own business in marketing and communications. And so another epiphany for Randy was when he was in his business, he had a business trip and he had a client that sold these feeding systems to factory farms for chickens, and he needed some photos for a brochure. So he was invited to this factory farm to do a photo shoot. And he called me during that shoot and he said, I can't breathe and I can't see. He said, this chicken houses are full of ammonia and from the chicken feces. And he said, it was just unbearable. So, he said the chicks would eat from these feeding systems, but while the adult chickens were caged and they were packed on top of each other, and he was just really disgusted. So after that business trip, he came home and he said he could never eat chicken again. And so from that point, I give Randy just a lot of credit because he had this vision of, you know, what our past brought into, you know, how we were eating or how we weren't eating. And so he said, would you like to explore how to become a vegetarian at that time? And I'm like, oh boy, this is a pretty big request. And I thought, well, we're thinking about starting a family. And it just really made sense to me at that time that, okay, it's the perfect time to research, you know, health and wellness. And, you know, just because we're going to be starting this new family, I just thought it was the perfect time. So I had, you know, many ways of, from the 80s, I didn't have the internet. So I had to pretty much, you know, do a lot of reading on my own. And I would take all kinds of cookbooks and look through them. And I also subscribed to cooking magazines. And one of my favorite research materials is a newsletter that's called Nutrition Action Health Letter. And it's the flagship publication for the Center for Science and Public Interest. It also goes by CSPI. So it's a publication that comes out about 10 times a year. And it just, I learned so much from that publication. It just provides, you know, really honest and unbiased science-based advice on nutrition and health. And I love that it was science-based, first of all, and that it's well-researched. And so it just really, you know, I thought that was a very good publication to gain knowledge on.
Can you give me the name of that again, please? And is that still in existence, or was that was something in the past that you researched?
No, it's actually, it's still today.
What is it called?
Nutrition Action Health Letter. They also go by, Health Letter, and it's through the public interest, the science in public interest.
Okay.
It was a wealth of information. To this day, I still get the, you can subscribe to it. So,
okay.
Or go online.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So you began with your interest because you noticed that so many prenatal vitamins and children's foods were very chemically laden. And so you began creating your own or making or emulsifying or whatever, your own baby food for your children. So you knew that what they were eating was good and healthy. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when we started having children, that really made sense to me, to make my own baby food. Just not knowing what's in the foods, being processed, and I could take something from our table and either puree it, you know, if it's or even, you know, have a steamed vegetable that I could just puree. And that would be the basic carrots. If I pureed carrots, that was it. I knew that was what my child was getting and not something that might have had a preservative in it stored in a glass jar type of thing.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And I think that now is the time for many people to get back into gardening and get back into really understanding what their food is doing for them. So you
Absolutely.
Then obviously began on a journey of acquiring knowledge yourself. And one of the things that I absolutely love is that you say that your kitchen became the epicenter of your household, understanding that this mm-hmm. is a place for people to come together. Can you talk a little bit more about that and what meals meant to you and mean to you?
Yes. I really see the kitchen. It feels like the heart of the house. I mean, it's a living, breathing, beautiful space to be in. And it's not just for cooking. I see it in so many different ways that, you know, I always think about the times that we have parties and we have these beautiful backyards to sit in, or we add more chairs to the living room for when we have parties, but everybody lands in the kitchen. There's this energy that comes from there. And, you know, or it's a place that we might, maybe it's a recreation time where we sit down and we all enjoy playing games or cards. But we would utilize our kitchen that way always. It was always, it's just the heart of the house. And, But yet when I was in the kitchen, I would always involve everybody. My kids were involved. My husband is involved, and he still is involved, even when our adult kids are grown. But they, you know, by doing that, I think it's really important because we're teaching the children the values of how to cook. It might sound very simple, but in you know, as a parent, we probably think, oh, I can do it quicker. I'm gonna do this and not get the children involved. But the basic steps of showing a child, you know, how just even setting a table or putting the dishes in the dishwasher, these are all life skills, and taking them to the grocery store and allowing them to, you know, maybe pick out a fruit or a vegetable that they've never seen before or taste and bring it home and explore with it. These are building blocks for our children to be able to eat well. Because that was the irony for me, is that I didn't have that growing up. And I struggled in my 20s trying to figure out how am I going to feed myself and my new family healthy when I didn't have those building blocks. So I made sure that in our family that we talked about healthy foods. And again, you know, this is late 80s, early 90s. And the way we chose to eat, we did stop eating meat. We went vegetarian, basically more of a Mediterranean diet. Because we kept fish in our diet. But what that did is, the kids understood that vegetables and fruits are important. And, we would go to the farmer's market and explore. But people at that time thought, for some reason, the word healthy, it was not a good word for some reason. People thought if you were healthy and you ate without meat and you were a vegetarian, you were a hippie, basically. And I remember our kids coming home saying, yeah, Mom, you know, my friends think that we're hippies because we eat tofu and we drink, you know, nut milks. And but it was interesting because as their friends were around our house, they gained that knowledge, and our kids would come home and say, wow, you know, my friend is starting to not drink milk. They decided they wanted to try a nut milk, or, they're eating more vegetables. And again, my daughter, you know, when she went into college, her first year of college, she was the star in the kitchen. Her roommates had not a clue of how to shop, how to prepare, even right down to recycling. And by the end of that year in college, the girls were all going to farmers markets. These are girls that were athletes. And they needed their nutrition. So Leah, my daughter, with her knowledge of leaving the house, it was wonderful because they were, you know, eating healthy and they were preparing meals together that were healthy. And the girls even were recycling by the time they left that first year of college. They didn't gain that freshman 15.
Yeah. So, well, what's so important, Sherry, is what you're sharing. And my guest today is Sherry Borns, who lives in northern Michigan and has really changed in the past 30 years the way that she's looked at food and then the really appreciating and enjoying food. So as you're speaking, being in the kitchen and then being therefore around the table, you know, when you learn to eat well and you're together, you learn how to contribute. You learn how to make conscious choices. You learn how to come together. You learn how to appreciate. Yeah. And all of these things are foundations for other things that you do in life. If you learn how to be collaborative, if you learn how to be a little bit adventurous in what you're eating, then you're not so, quote unquote, prejudiced to things. You know, you're not making a definitive answer about something. You're willing to say, well, let's try this. So I think that mm-hmm. it's a bigger it's a bigger thing than we realize, rather than just, you know, we're having our kids learn this because we want them to help. But it truly is, as you're saying, gives them the foundation of every choice that they make later on in their life, because it's a Absolutely. Part of being a family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And part of being yeah. a family on the planet, because we are one yeah. species on the planet. So when, mm-hmm. as you gained this knowledge, how did you begin to, you know, recognize, and I'm sure, as you said, with your own children's friends, they were curious. They naturally became curious. And I would mm-hmm. imagine that they noticed, especially as athletes, that they felt better. They probably were healthier than their friends yeah. that just ate whatever was in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I know my daughter's roommates, you know, she couldn't believe how much junk food that these athletes were eating. And they actually said to Leah, I remember her having conversations, and we would go over there and have dinners with the girls. And they were just saying how their energy levels were different after changing and eating real live foods. mm-hmm.
So how did you end up making this really your business? As you now have you educate other people about eating really well and enjoying it. Can you mm-hmm. share that, please?
Yeah. Yeah, I think what happened is as I, you know, gained more knowledge and felt more comfortable with where I was going with the nutrition and the wellness, naturally I just kept talking about it, and I would have people say, well, you know, why don't you put a class together? And so in the small community that I lived in, I would, a yoga studio actually invited me in and wanted to understand how to dehydrate. And that is one of my favorite things to do, because it's so healthy in so many ways. And I found that was really one of the favorites of any teaching. I would teach, you know, juicing, how to juice properly and mix, you know, different concoctions of juicing, fermenting, and, you know, how good that is for the gut biome. And so it's just, those were things that I just really enjoy doing. So the more I would talk about them, then people would say, yeah, I'd like to learn more. And what would be so, I would just feel so honored and proud to know that these people would email me back and say, you've changed the way I'm eating. My children are now eating fruit leathers that are made from real fruit that I pureed and put in a dehydrator, or I've got them to eat these amazing, you know, flaxseed crackers instead of eating a Triscuit. So it's just changing the quality of the food, and that's important too. I think, you know, somebody can look at their pantry and go, what could I take in this pantry and upgrade it? Maybe it's a sweetener. Maybe it has aspartame in it, which is not a healthy choice. And maybe replace it with, you know, maybe an organic coconut sugar, or maybe an alternative sugar like a monk fruit or stevia, or even honey and maple syrups are good choices. I mean, sugars are sugars. But there's healthier alternatives. So, and that's just an example, but that could, just by changing a pantry to better quality food, will also enhance, you know, what's being made in the kitchen.
Well, you know, what's interesting, Sherry, too, is because people think that this in some ways, because they just aren't aware of our history, is, you know, this was how food was prepared long ago. Things were dried. Things were preserved. Things were dehydrated using salt, because if in old times, you know, it was feast or famine. You had to be able to preserve what you had so that you could keep it for a longer period of time. So dehydration was something that was done so that you could eat in times where, you know, it was maybe not the best weather, but we don't have that challenge now. So it actually makes it more of a joy rather than just a chore to learn what you
Absolutely.
Can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so it's so interesting because you talk about being a vegetarian and then a vegan and then a pescatarian. So many people might not understand, what does that term mean? What is a pescatarian?
Pescatarian is really a vegetarian that includes fish or seafood in their diet.
Mm-hmm. So why is there an aversion to meat rather than seafood in this relationship?
There's something about the two-legged and four-legged critters.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to, you know, the whole factory farming.
Right.
Which, and I'm not that I'm opposed to people that want to eat meat, but I think it's important that they know where the meat comes from, because
yes.
the factory farming is, you know, it's there, not only to the animals, it's so inhumane, but to the environment, it's really, it's damaging, extremely damaging. So, but back to the fish, I guess it's, for me, it was just a great protein source, and it's for, and I would make sure that it's wild caught and not the, again, there's also the factory farming of fish, which is, you know, with the, oh, I forgot what it's called now.
Farm raised.
Farm raised. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that's basically kind of a factory farming way, and they're, you know, they feed them antibiotics, but so it, when it comes to fish, it's important to look at the wild caught fish.
Yes. Yes. So Sherry, how can people learn about what you do and the classes that you offer? And are you doing any things on Facebook? I see that you have a Facebook page that you sent to me, which will be on the Empower Radio on Earth Wisdom Circles link for this interview. But tell me, are you teaching things online? Are you doing some kind of video blogging so that people can know how to do what you do?
Actually, at this time, I haven't been doing much with it because we've recently moved and I'm just trying to get the household back in order. And it's time, though. It's time for me because we live in a different location now. So
okay.
That was another reason why I haven't started classes. But I do have a Facebook page, and it's, you know, it's not to say that I could do something online, especially
now might be the perfect time. It is the perfect
exactly.
time. You have sequestered
it
audience.
Is.
And so how would people find you on Facebook? Just look under Cherish, Cherish. Is that the best way to find you?
Yes. And there are a couple other Cherishes I've noticed just recently been coming in. Mine will have a green masthead that will say, where do I begin? It'll say Cherish and where do I begin? So they'll know they're on the right Cherish page. I think there is another one there. Yeah.
And your distinction also is it's Cherish. So there's two I's.
Correct.
So that's
two
a good
I's,
distinction.
Yes.
Right. So, Sherry,
yes.
We have just maybe 2 minutes left. So what are the takeaways that you would like people to know about when they really want to start to change the way that they are eating so that they do feel better, especially as it's so important that we improve our immune system now and into the future?
Yeah, takeaways is, you know, just explore. We have an abundance of resources out there now that we have the internet. It wasn't like back in the day when I had to go through books and You know, a documentary is actually a great one to do now too, that you, people can figure out, you know, about their, where their food's coming from, that gets, just get the knowledge under, get the foundation and just bring in some fresh foods. Look at farmers markets, go to, join a CSA, which is a community, supported agriculture, and help the local farmers, you know, try to eat local.
Yeah.
There's, it's just all baby steps of getting there. It's, you know, and you have to be patient because it doesn't happen overnight. It took me 30 years and I'm still learning and love to share it. So,
but it's not just about patience. It's about the joy of learning, isn't it? That's what we're here to do.
Absolutely.
In life is to learn. So Sherry, as always, the time goes by very quickly. I want to thank you so much for what you did and for taking the time to be with me today. And please go to her web, to her Facebook page, which is CHERIISH. And as she said, there's a green masthead behind it. So thank you so much, Sherry, for what you're doing. And I hope to learn some from you because there's always room for learning.
Well, thank you, Elaine. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you. And we'll have you back. We'll have you back. That would be fun. So this is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Now is the time for us always to begin to look at what do we do to bring wisdom back into our life, to engage the energy of Mother Earth, and to recognize this circle that we're in is life itself. Thank you. Make it a great day.